Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And wow. Only in the middle of September, this lovely day.
That's right.
What is it today?
A beautiful day, September 27th edition of State of the Arts. And Michael, boy, do we have a lot of great theater to talk about on State of the Arts today.
We do indeed, Andrew. And we have with us one of the stars. Mm-hmm. Of a show that's going to be opening up at a super cool nightclub.
What nightclub?
Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
One of my favorite locations,
right?
no doubt about it.
We like that. And it is D. Scott Eads' Legacy in the Key of Bing, which will be on stage Sunday, September 30th. And again, of course, at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. So let's just say hello to our guest.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Scott, I'm good. Hello. I feel loved.
Scott, it's great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that's not all, of course.
No, we got lots of good stuff going on.
Yes,
but before we do that, Michael, we should take a quick second and thank our wonderful sponsors, yeah?
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and do that.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as our presenting sponsor for State of the Arts during 2018. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas, we'd like to... pardon me, took two pages there, and I got lost, Andrew.
For meaningful travel?
Yes. So I'll go back and start that sentence. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide, aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month, from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Mm-hmm. Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win. And how you do that is you go to latalkradio.com, you go to Channel 2, you bring up the State of the Arts page, and on that page, you will see a Princess logo. You click on that, and you register to win. And you
can do
it as many times as you like, but do it, because that is a gift from Princess with a value of $5,000.
Wow, amazing. And not only that, but obviously Princess is such a great supporter of the arts, such a great pivotal part of the artistic community. You get to see some great shows on board that ship and lots of fun stuff there too, so do go and enter. And as always, we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California.
Indeed, and Mike Napoli and his crew over there who keep that ship running very tight.
That's right. We're grateful to both of our sponsors for their continued support of State of the Arts. So, Michael, today we have a native West Virginian.
I know. There's not been many of them left.
That's right. Today's guest has spent his lifetime collecting experiences that enrich his ability to relate to others.
Well, from his earliest church singing to acting on As the World Turns, mm-hmm. and in regional and off-Broadway productions such as the drama department's Kingdom of Earth with Peter Sarsgaard and Cynthia Nixon, to his current work in psychotherapy, he has striven?
Yeah.
Striven. Nice.
A nice new word.
He strove.
He has had his adventures to nurture. A highly valued depth of understanding while maintaining personal growth.
He is currently working on a variety of projects while training his rescue pup, Twigs, who has thankfully lost her sharp little baby teeth. Is that correct?
Yep.
Halted a staggering household of consumption of Band-Aids. His long-term love of Bing Crosby has led him to return to performing, culminating in his upcoming musical offering, D. Scott Eads, Legacy in the Key of Bing, which will be on stage on September 30th, as we said before, at the beautiful Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
That's right, and I can't wait. Something that Scott and I have been working on together, and I'm so happy to present it on September 30th. And he had an extraordinary a reaction to it when
cool.
he put it on sale, and it sold out very, very quickly within
2 weeks. Oh, that's fantastic.
And he worked hard at making that happen, and it happened. So,
wow.
And now we are actually adding seats.
Wow.
So for walk-ins, we're doing the couches in the at the back of the club, which are lovely, comfortable seating and a great view of the stage. So
wow.
Anybody that wants to walk in, because you won't be able to buy tickets for this event online and or over the telephone, but by walking in, and if we have those seats, you'll be able to get those seats.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we should obviously go ahead and say that not only is this going to be an amazing evening of music, but pays homage to Bing Crosby, of course, one of the most iconic crooners of all time. And the evening has other amazing stars in it as well, doesn't it?
It does.
Who else will be there, Michael?
It does. It has the lovely 3-time Grammy Award winner Laura Dickinson
wow.
and musical theater and television star Will Collier.
And great friend of State of the Arts, too.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Right.
And they are honoring the magic of Rosemary Clooney and Frank Sinatra and the friendship that the three of them had.
How fantastic.
Yeah, and Laura is an amazing singer, and Will is a wonderful, wonderful singer as well, who I saw last night in the Musical Theater Guild's production of MAME.
Great. Well, let's go ahead and bring in the man himself, D. Scott Eads, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, so good to have you here, man. We are just thrilled that you were willing to sit down and talk with us for a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think I can see my house from here.
Can you? Well, then
yeah.
now we know where the after show party's
so
going.
Yeah,
we're going to follow you home.
Really?
So you work today, is that correct?
I did.
And
I
you
worked.
Guys are putting the show together still. Do you have rehearsals tonight?
I'll be rehearsing.
Unbelievable.
Tonight.
Wow.
So we have the big
wow.
rehearsal on Thursday.
Wow.
Thursday. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, amazing.
The band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, for those who don't know, obviously, you're a huge Bing Crosby fan.
Love him.
And not only that, but all the music of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Really beautiful stuff throughout
mm-hmm.
these careers. And certainly, you know, the iconic films that they were in. And all three of these stars, Rosemary and Bing, and, of course, Frank Sinatra, stretched across all mediums of creation.
Mm-hmm.
What a cool thing. Tell me a little bit about the show.
I've loved this guy since it's in the show, but I honestly, I'm trying to think back to my earliest memory of him, and it was on the Wonderful World of Disney. They played The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Wow.
And he narrated and sang that,
sure.
that short, that animated feature. So that is my earliest memory of his voice. I do have a similarity in my voice to him, or quality, or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. That's as far as I'll
did
go.
Did you know that, or did you try to develop that?
I knew it a little, not much, because I've been away from performing for so long, but then I just kept gravitating towards him.
Right.
So it got mentioned, and maybe, you know, maybe there is, maybe I'm
well, let's
whatever.
Hear. Let's play a little Bing Crosby.
So
the
I believe this
for
is...
those of you who don't know who he is, listen up here on this program, because he really was one of America's greatest singers and certainly greatest personalities.
That's right.
And not only was he a great singer, but he was a very good actor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, everything old is new again.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And he sang one of the most iconic songs in the history of the universe for Christmas. And we'll be playing that at the end of the show.
But this track is called I Found a Million Dollar Baby.
Right.
And it's a great piece by Bing Crosby, ladies and gentlemen.
This
Bing
is
Crosby.
An early recording.
It was a lucky April shower. It was the most convenient dawn. I found a $1 million baby in a 5 and 10 cent store. The rain continued for an hour. I hung around for 3 or 4. Around $1 million baby in a 5 and 10 cent store. She was selling china, and when she made those eyes, I kept buying china until the crowd got wise. Incidentally, if you should run into a shower, just step inside my cottage door and meet the million-dollar baby from the 5 and 10 cent store. Love comes along like a popular song, anytime or anywhere at all. Rain or sunshine, spring or fall. Say you never know when it may say hello in a very unexpected place. For example, take my case. She was selling china, and when she made those eyes, I kept buying china until the crowd got wise. Incidentally, if you should run into a shower, step inside my cottage door and meet my million-dollar baby from the 5 and 10 cent store.
What a clap.
What a track.
Amazing.
Right.
What a great. And I can certainly hear the parallels between Bing and Scott's voice. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Really great. Really great.
The composer of that song?
Harry Warren.
Harry Warren, the great Harry Warren.
Wow.
Worked a lot with Johnny Mercer.
Cool. Well, and we obviously have a lot more. We're going to play a lot more Bing on this show, too, so people can hear some more of that.
31.
31, as I said.
Amazing. His voice is very young.
Yeah.
1931.
I know, right?
Amazing.
Kind of crazy.
28.
Hmm.
And what a long, beautiful career he had.
5 decades plus.
I'm sorry, I forgot what I was going to say. It was just something that you said about the comparison of his voice.
When
Scott's
you listen
voice
a little bit, you know, when you hear Scott's voice and you hear Bing's voice, and you can tell, I mean, Bing, as we were talking about, of course, was a longtime smoker, longtime drinker. Mm-hmm. He had a rough-sounding voice, which made him sound unique, and I think people caught on to that very quickly. Of course, he had trouble with that later on in his life, but you're able to recreate that without all the vice, yeah?
Well,
been there, done that.
Well, I don't smoke now, but I've had my share of cigarettes in my day.
Pretty amazing. Well, Bing's voice, obviously, I mean, you hear it and you just know that it's him. So that's a pretty cool thing that you can recreate that on any level. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also amazing, you know, coming from someone Scott's age. He's a young man, so, you know.
I like that.
Most people don't gravitate
nice.
Toward those
Say it more.
Older
that's right.
stars of yesteryear, but they certainly were stars. And those are the days when stars were made.
That's right.
You know?
Well, it was an exciting time, too, because Bing was at every possible juncture of cinematic advancement.
Wow.
With microphones, with movie theaters.
Colorization.
Color,
yeah.
Black and white.
Yeah.
He invested heavily in technology later on.
That's right.
VHS audio tapes. He was the first one to pre-record a show and not go live on radio. It was amazing. He was very technically savvy with stuff like that.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
Well, we have some statistics and facts that are interesting about Bing. He sold close to 1 billion records.
My goodness.
Tapes, compact discs, and digital downloads around the world. He may be the biggest selling recording artist of all time. Only the Beatles, Elvis Presley, and Michael Jackson can rival his sales figures.
Wow.
Bing had sold 200 million records by 1960, and the figure has doubled by 1980.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And obviously he intersected with so many amazing stars. Your idol, Rosemary Clooney, of course, your mentor as well, who had such a wonderful collaboration with him. But so many people. I mean, he crossed paths with Jack Webb and all these amazing people over the years, other movers and shakers and people who were pivotal. And then, of course, his children. I think he had, how many boys did he have?
He had 4 from the first marriage.
Wow.
And three kids from the second.
And many of those went on to have musical careers as well, yeah?
They all sang. They didn't end so well.
Yeah.
A couple of them. So, yeah. But yeah, they all sang. They sang with him. He brought them on programs. They did a lot of touring. They worked in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So they did have a presence.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow. I know their family Christmas special was always a very big thing, too, that they did from his house.
That was with the second family.
Wow.
That was with Catherine.
Yeah, that was with Catherine and the and the three kids.
Amazing.
And my father, and probably every other man in America, you know, when she became famous, not necessarily from him. She was in the movies before they met. But once they got married, all these men in America were so disappointed, but they kept their picture in their, you know, lockers or the garage where their tool sheds were.
Wow.
My dad being one of them.
Pretty cool. That's amazing. Quite an icon, no doubt about it. And that glamour and that beauty of that time obviously was captured so well in their personalities and being included in that. He was the essence of style, his Dunhill pipe and all that sort of thing was something I still think of as Christmassy. Now, Michael, we should take a quick break here and talk about some of the amazing things that you did this week. Obviously, we have a ton more to talk about with Scott, but before we jump into that, you went to go see an amazing production with some friends of the show in it, didn't you?
I did indeed, and it was just last night. And last Sunday, September 23rd, and it was a one-night-only stage concert performance of Jerome Lawrence, Robert E. Lee, and Jerry Herman's MAME, founded by the Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles at the Alex Theater in Glendale.
Starring everybody who's ever been on State of the Arts in their life, right?
Just about. With master direction by Lewis Wolkenfeld, who has been on this program, musical direction by Cassie Nichols, choreography by Heather Castillo, appropriate period costuming by Jeffrey Schoenberg, and starring the divine glory that is Kelly Lester as Mame Dennis and the luscious, if not insatiable, Barbara Carlton Hart as Vera Charles. This stunner of musical came, conquered, and made the South revive again last night, culminating in one of the most enjoyable evenings of the theater in recent seasons of Musical Theater Guild's always valiant mission to bring back seldom done gems from the Great White Way.
Wow.
And other people who just tore me up and the house up. This was a fully sold-out house. It was the young man named Travis Burnett who played young Patrick.
Cool.
Her a nephew that she did not know that she had. And his name is Travis Burnett, and he was just perfect.
How do you spell that last name?
B-U-R-N-E-T-T. Mm. And, of course, our friend Will Collier
of course
plays that same role as the older Patrick later on in the show. And Melissa Fawn, we need to give a shout-out to because she is a lovely, lovely singer and performer, Broadway performer. She went into Wicked and took over the role of Glinda.
Wow.
And in her time in New York, and she played Agnes Gooch in this production.
Great name.
And
great
she
name.
Had such a wonderful, wonderful characterization of it. The audience went crazy.
Wow.
I don't know if you know the show, but it's a very, very funny role.
And this, of course, was at the beautiful Alex Theater.
At the beautiful Alex Theater. And Brent Schindel, who's one of our regional Southern California theater stars, and a very handsome gentleman on top of it, played the very coveted role of Beauregard, the suitor of Mame in the show. And, of course, our friends Kelly Lester and Barbara Carlton Hart, who were on this program on September 20th, just were the epitome of those two women. They
That's
just
great.
Totally embodied the real characters.
You know, we should mention real quick, we had a fun surprise. We walked into the studio last week, and we found a big brown box sitting there with a gift from Kelly Lester,
right,
who sent us just a wonderful collection of Easy Lunch Boxes, which I've used already, and they're amazing. So easylunchboxes.com, a fun little thing, and very thoughtful of her to send those
That's
as well.
That's right. Here she is being so talented as an actress and a singer and a dancer, and she also came up with this idea
That's right.
to make these lunch boxes, and they are going through the roof on Amazon.
Well, and it's fun too. If you go to her Instagram, you'll find her at the Singing CEO. She's the singing CEO, businesswoman, and amazing talent as well. So pretty cool.
That's a rare combination. And she's going to New York. She's returning to New York with her family, and she's going to continue her career there. So we wish her the best of luck.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. So I'm glad that MAME was awesome. Obviously, such a rarely done piece, but really, if you do it well, it's so compelling.
And that score.
Yeah.
You know, that score is amazing. The one thing about it that I think is prevents it from being done is it is such an enormous show with a very large cast and big sets, and it's expensive to do. So I think this concert version, which was staged beautifully by Louis Wolkenfeld, is the way to go on this show.
You know?
And they had a seven-piece band behind them, and that can, you know, if you've got a great musical director in front of you and the great charts, that can be sound like a 14-piece band. But it certainly was an economical way to do it, and Musical Theater Guild has to follow the rules of the union and do it in such a manner that they only have 25 hours in the theater to rehearse.
And yet, like the true professionals they are, it always looks fully rehearsed. Just an amazing...
They have to have the books in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
In case, not in case they go up, but it's just a rule that it's reminding people this is not a fully fledged production, and it goes into a certain category within the equity contract rules because all the performers are equity.
Nice.
So it's a challenge to be a member of Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles, but such a great reward. Yeah. Did you get to see any theater?
I did not. I was not out this week. I've been working. I've been on three separate films as well as a stage production doing Pirates of Penzance up in Ventura County, doing the fight choreography for all four of those productions. So I have not been out. I've been buried in theater and film sets for the entire week and not had any fun, but those all finish up here coming up soon. Lots of good theater going on around the Southland, so it's nice to see how much is out there right now.
Well, and you know, I just want to tell you, as long as we're talking about Musical Theater Guild, that their next, in their season, their next venture is Candor and Ebb's Zorba.
Wow.
The musical.
Yeah.
That hasn't been done for years.
Very rare. I've never seen it. Yeah.
And that is coming up on November 11th at 7 p.m. And I just want to give you information on how to get a ticket. And you can go to thealextheater.org or by calling 818-243-ALEX for tickets for Musical Theater Guild's season, which continues with Mini Boys and Sunday in the Park with George.
Cool.
On 2019.
What a great season. And those concert readings that they do are always just a positive, fun family experience to go see. It's a great way to introduce young people to the theater if it's an appropriate show, and lots of really good stuff out there. Top-notch performers, top-notch musicians, great directing, and just a really great way to see some shows that aren't done very often. And speaking of great shows, the great D. Scott Eads is still with us here, and we're talking about his show upcoming that's going to be at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on Sunday, September 30th. Doors open at 5:30 p.m., performance at 7 p.m. The show is called Legacy in the Key of Bing. Where'd the title come from?
Yeah.
Where did the title come from? Well, you worked this
we
one
stumped
up.
Him.
You wanted it to be a series. So
I do want to establish this as a series of... maybe a quad or, you know, maybe 8 million. I don't know. shows dedicated distinctly to his music and style. In the Key of Bing is catchy. I like it. It sounds fun.
Yeah.
Because he had a distinctive style.
Now, does this cover just a certain period of his life, or is it over his whole life?
No, this covers, it covers most of his life. I think up until the 50s. We're going from the 30s to the 50s with this, which is his... heyday.
Wow.
Actually, so.
And the usage of Laura Dickinson and Will Collier, of course, as we said earlier, the essence of Rosemary Clooney and Frank Sinatra. So they will have their own solos, and they will also sing duets with you, right?
Mm-hmm. I've got a single duet with Will, and I have two with Laura.
Yeah. And what are those?
Will and I will be doing Me and My Shadow. And Laura and I will be singing Slow Boat to China, and then a medley of These Foolish Things and You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To.
I'd love to hear Slow Boat to China as Mr. Crosby and Miss Clooney recorded it. Do we have that up?
You know, if you ask for it, Michael, then you shall receive it, my friend. This is Slow Boat to China.
All right.
Slow boat to China. It seems to me that I've tried long enough to prove to you my love is strong enough.
Just how upset can you get?
How hard to get can you get?
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers on a faraway shore. Out on the briny with the moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
Get you on a slow,
not on a faster slow boat. You're not gonna take my heart. You're not gonna break my heart.
Alone, I'm gonna make you mine.
You'll have to stand in line.
Get you and I'll keep you in my arms.
Now there's
evermore.
No,
leave all your lovers on the shore.
For me, they'd swim to China and
tell them
back
to bring me an anvil.
Out
on the briny with a moon
not even
big and shiny,
it's
melting your heart.
Or maybe we'll stay
alone. Stone, or is it made of steel?
You'll find it's very real.
Seems we're not going on a slow boat to China. Well, let's just say that we won't be there this June. 'Cause whoever heard of a Chinese honeymoon? Whoever heard of a Chinese honeymoon?
Operators, huh?
Just amazing. And obviously, I mean, they worked together, Scott, you said, for 26 years.
26 years.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the name of the show is Legacy in the Key of Bing, starring the amazing D. Scott Eads. It's at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, which, of course, is located in the amazing Federal Building, the Federal Bar and Grill, at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood.
Boulevard?
Boulevard. That's the way we say it down south, the Boulevard. It was so funny, too. We were talking the other day about how great this venue is. You can get food. You can get drink there. Tickets are $28. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then food and beverage minimum is $15. So for under, you know, $50, you get out there and you have a great night out. Mm-hmm. You have great service and great food. Get to see a great show, and you get to automatically transport yourself back to the magical 1930s.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool deal.
And not just the 30s, but you know, through the 20 years.
Right.
And you'd also have the chance to meet Scott Eads after the show.
Which is a pretty cool thing, too,
no doubt about it.
Now, Michael, you were saying a little bit, just an anecdote about what Mr. Crosby had meant to Rosemary throughout her life.
Well, it wasn't an anecdote, necessarily, but it was a very, very personal friendship. And he was, you know, working together, as they did, through those many, many years. And then her unfortunate nervous breakdown, which people did not know until after it actually happened, and she was keeping it very private. And once she went through her rehabilitation process, and she came back out of that, she came not only back out of that, but she came into the second half of her life, and being jump-started by the kindness of Bing Crosby, who had never been on tour before in this country and throughout other parts of the world. And promoters put an offer into him to construct a tour, and he agreed to it under the condition that Rosemary Clooney was a part of it.
Wow.
So that helped her, helped him, and you can imagine when they got to Ireland, you know, Crosby and Clooney was a pretty good double bill there.
Yeah, and he did that just to help get her back on her feet and rock and roll.
Absolutely.
And back. What an amazing
piece.
She
basically had to, you know, leave.
Well, he did the same thing with Judy Garland. after wow. she tried to commit suicide. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's people sticking with their the loyalty, which is something that a lot of people don't even care about today, you know, that kind of loyalty.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, certainly, I mean, it was something he certainly loved, a great performance, and I think from everything I've heard about him, music was just such a part of him. He wanted to see great music go on and on forever, and Mr. D. Scott Eads here is continuing that with his show, Legacy in the Key of Bing.
And let's ask D. Scott Eads one question. What is the D?
The D?
The D.
Douglas.
Douglas.
My brother named me Scotty before I was born.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why did you choose to use just the D instead of Douglas Scott?
It sounded good at the time. So it just kind of stuck for the last years.
That's great.
Shibber-der.
Well, Mr. D. Scott Eads, what would you like people to see when they see the show? What kind of feeling would you like them to have? What would you like them to leave with?
I think we're living in some incredibly strange times.
Strange.
I think some really, really strange times. And there is a quote in the show, if I can remember it, that Bing represents the type of fun that people had often. And today, almost never. Hmm. So a lot of these songs, whether they be a ballad or a silly vaudeville song, which I particularly enjoy a lot, they're just fun, and they're fun to listen to. They're memorable. They are the American songbook. If you don't know them, they're in your blood still because you're an American. You know them even if you don't know them. They do represent a big portion of America. So.
Well, and our younger people, if they can get off their darn telephones.
I have a 12-year-old coming.
Yeah.
Requested, yes.
Wow,
well,
cool.
That's
mm-hmm.
sweet.
Cool.
You must have an old soul.
Mm,
but
she.
It would be nice, or
wow.
she.
Very cool.
It's nice to have them hear this kind of music. And, you know, you should never lose sight of this kind of music. Because the things that we hear on the radio today, there's many things that I like on a contemporary pop basis, but they're not going to be around.
They're
not going to be re-recorded. And re-recorded as so many of these great American songs.
So now, Michael, the show's obviously sold out. It's obviously had a great response.
Yeah.
But you say there are still a few walk-up seats.
We had to create that situation to accommodate the demand for tickets. So. Mm-hmm.
And how could people get hold of those?
They just strictly do a walk-in.
5 o'clock on the 30th?
5:30.
I'd say, get there a little bit before 5:30.
Okay. So between 5 and 5:30 at the Federal.
And that's on a cash basis, by the way. We always have to say that.
Okay. There is an ATM downstairs.
Now, if by chance they got there and the show was completely sold out and they couldn't get a walk-in seat, obviously they could still go downstairs and eat and have a great night out, yeah?
Oh, of course.
So good. So you get there and you hope that you get one of these seats that's being created for the walk-in seats. And if not, you still got a great meal ahead of you. And if you listen very carefully and you sit in just the right spot, you might be able to get a little bleed through from the upstairs show if Mr. Eads sings loud enough.
We don't like to disturb the people downstairs.
I always love sitting at that bar and just hearing the excitement that's going on at the Federal. The Federal is such a fun venue mm-hmm, for people to be at. It's a happening place, lots of good stuff, and certainly Sterling's upstairs is a huge part of that. In fact, last time I was there, I had the Sterling Burger and a Vanilla Manhattan.
Did you have the Elvis Pie?
I did not, but I had the Vanilla Manhattan, and I had it 3 times over.
Wow.
3 times, yes. I tell you, that was...
Time was the best?
It was the only time I wasn't driving. They got better with each one. Yeah. I wasn't driving down there, so I was able to have 3 drinks, and I just sat back, and of course, that was a great show. We sat and listened to Mr. John Lloyd Young, I believe, that time. So, lots of fun stuff. Lots of fun stuff going on at the Federal.
It is a great space.
Vanilla Manhattan.
I love them. And not only that, but it's a fun place because, you know, when you go upstairs, you get a feel like you're in a true cabaret club. And that's a cool thing.
It's a very comfortable space.
Yeah, and no time or space, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you walk in there and you could be anywhere, any point in time, and you're just hearing a great performance.
So. Yeah.
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and we're talking about the show Legacy in the Key of Bing that's this coming Sunday. In fact, that's just in a couple days here. Sunday the 30th, starting at 5:30 is when the doors open and the performance is at 7.
You know, I'm just looking here at some of the other facts that were provided today, and the last piece of music that we're going to play at the end of the show, which is coming up in how many minutes?
We have about 15 minutes left.
About 15 minutes. It's such a famous song that he recorded, mm-hmm. and here's what I'm going to say right now to those of you who are listening. Estimated sales of the song are 100 million.
Wow.
And... Mm-hmm. When it entered the American pop charts 20 separate times and reached the it entered the American Pop Chop, Marquette Pork Chops.
You're that he's so excited about the song.
Maybe that's what they sell on the bully bars.
He's
reached the number one spot three times.
Amazing.
In 1942, 1945, and 1947.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, wow.
And became a film.
Became a film, having made over 200 commercial recordings, approximately 4,000 radio programs, in addition to an extensive list of film and television appearances. Mm. He is the most recorded performer in history.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, Legacy in the Key of Being at Sterling's upstairs in the Federal at, of course, coming up this Sunday, the 30th. We should go ahead and do a quick live arts calendar, too.
Yes, let's do that.
As we obviously want to make sure that we do that. And not only with this show, but with any others, you can go visit performingartslive.com, and you're going to find out about this and many more shows. My lips went on vacation. Many more shows going on all across the Southland. Ladies and gentlemen, The Gin Game. The Sierra Madre Playhouse presents The Gin Game, a Pulitzer Prize-winning play about an aging man and woman who compete in a game with high emotional stakes. Get your tickets now to see these exceptional artists in an intimate presentation of a classic American play, The Gin Game, now on stage through October 6th.
Weller Martin tries desperately to retain some control over his life despite falling into ill health and becoming a reluctant resident of a nursing home. Fonzia Dorsey serves as the symbol of all gone wrong, and his battles with her, though over a simple game of gin, become not only a conflict with the woman, but with divine will itself.
Mm-hmm. Don't miss this play that Broadway World calls a brilliant production.
For tickets or more information, call 626-355-4318 or visit SierraMadrePlayhouse.org.
That's right. Obviously, Sierra Madre Playhouse is a great and well-touted playhouse. They always do wonderful productions out there.
It's a charming space in a very charming little city.
Mm-hmm.
Little city.
Yeah.
On the main street.
Yeah.
In those gorgeous mountains in the background. And they do very good work there.
No doubt about it, and obviously a great credit to bring artists out there and bring some great theater out there as well. So.
Absolutely.
We also want to take a quick moment here and thank Carrie Ann Francis,
yes,
a wonderful photographer who does...
photographer.
I tell you, by my estimation, one of the best in Los Angeles, and not only that, but she cares so much about getting you the shot that makes you look at your absolute best and will get you work. She was kind enough to come in and work with Michael and I and do some great shots for State of the Arts, but you will see her work on strikingly.com, and you can check her out on Facebook and Instagram, C.A. Francis Photography. That's Francis, F-R-A-N-C-E-S, and you will see her work there. It's really quite amazing, and she's a great photographer. You can contact her for rates and availability.
Well, you also do, Andrew, some... she requests you a lot as a subject matter in her work, doesn't
she? The only reason she likes me is she knows I'm willing to get in as much trouble as she is.
Oh, really?
So I will get a call on some Saturday afternoon saying, hey, what you doing tonight? And we will zip off to the desert to go find a cool location to shoot, and she's great about that. But the love of adventure and of capturing our world the way that it exists, she of course shoots bands and headshots and all kinds of stuff, but she also does great just landscape photography that's really stunning and kind of shows our modern world and some of the beauty that you might miss otherwise. So C.A. Francis Photography, get a chance to check her out and see some really great images and try to get your career up and running with some new headshots. She's a great person to do that with.
And you know your agent wants you to do it, so you better get it done.
You know, I had occasion to talk with her a little bit about that and the feedback that agents give and manager give and stuff like that. Young performers, go out there and get really good shots early and work with a photographer who understands what your manager wants, because that's how it's going to end up getting clicked on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, D. Scott Eads is joining us here today. Again, the name of his show is Legacy in the Key of Being. It's coming up this Sunday, September 30th, 5:30 p.m. Doors open and 7 p.m. performance at the beautiful Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
And, of course, in addition to Scott, seeing Scott in his own show, you're going to see Laura Dickinson, three-time Grammy Award winner and musical theater and television star Will Collier, again honoring the magic of Rosemary Clooney and Frank Sinatra. Musical director, by the way, is the very well-known Rich Eames on piano, and Dory Amarillo. Say it again.
Amarillo
on guitar, Gary Wicks on bass, and Greg Sadler on drums. So you've got a nice,
very nice
quartet behind you.
Really, really great.
And are you, let me ask you this, are you nervous at all at this point, or have you...
I wasn't.
Well, now that you said that, Michael.
uh, Well, you're going to have some nerves.
Well, if you don't, you it wouldn't.
Then you're not breathing.
You don't seem like you're subject to your nerves to me at all.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I think younger when I was younger, a lot. Being a therapist now and has helped. You know, you're immersed in coping skills.
Yeah.
And theorems and the day to day and helping others. So it really does help you focus outward, which is a great thing to do.
I think. So. No doubt about it.
With all of the things that you've done in your lifetime, arts-wise, we have a little segment on this program.
Yes.
That we kind of close the show with.
Okay.
And we might do it earlier than later.
And now, embarrassing moments.
I don't have any.
Of course you don't.
There are none.
Scott says, I've never been embarrassed in my entire
life. I'm not blushing right now.
Yes, you are.
No, that's just the sun.
Yes, we ask all of our performers and guests to recall something that happened during their performing life, whether it was on the stage, it could be on television, it could be in the movies, but something that just that you will never forget for the rest of your life.
Something that I did to embarrass someone, or something that embarrassed me, because there are plenty of those.
It happened to you.
Something embarrassing that happened to me.
Yeah. It can be anything. It can be funny. It can be dramatic. It can be
film, television, anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are plenty. I got called out. I was on a soap. And funnily enough, my neighbor...
As the world turns,
I did. As the world turns, I was an evil nurse.
Oh, really?
Evil henchman, yes, I was
some
a nurse.
Things don't
a bad
change.
Nurse. No, now I'm near the nurses.
Now you're just evil.
Yes, I'm just evil. I was so nervous. I was incredibly nervous. I was fresh off the farm. I was 6 months out of the South, and I'm living in New York City, and it's a massive change. And I get cast... I got cast on As the World Turns before the holidays, and then I go in after the holidays. And I walked in, and the casting director had been fired. The two head writers had been fired.
Oh, no.
The executive producer had been fired, and they were starting to fire the actors. And I
welcome to New York,
hi,
boy.
How you doing? Nice to see you. Glad to be on this show.
I'm ready to start acting.
boy. And I get in there, and the tension was just... palpable. I mean, you could literally cut it with a knife, and I hate to be cliche, but it was that bad.
Wow.
And I had it was interesting, but I was nervous, and then that made me even more nervous. So when I get nervous, I get quiet, and they said, you need to be meaner. You need to be meaner. And I was like, oh, okay. So I got meaner, and things got better. And
so
then they
you.
Killed me.
Oh, no.
I got carted off. That's how I felt. I got carted off with a needle sticking out of my chest.
Wow.
On a stretcher. I had been trying to give the Rosalind, whatever. I can't remember her name.
How many episodes did you get in?
I can't even remember.
Wow. But no,
I was supposed to be bumped up and all this hoopla.
So how many episodes did you do? You don't
know?
He
can't remember. Six,
oh.
eight.
Well,
eight,
so it wasn't...
Six or eight?
That what you just told us wasn't the... first episode.
No, that was the final one. Amazing. They wheeled me out on a stretcher with a needle sticking out of my chest.
Won't happen when you do a one-man show.
So I hope not, because I don't know where that
needle
has
been.
Unless Will
Collier steps out of character drastically in this show.
So that was,
we will have a gurney off in the wings. Yeah.
That's
just
right, just
to
in case.
Like,
just in case.
Well, that leads me to my final question for you here before we play this beautiful bit of Bing that we have here at the end that we're going to play for everybody, give you another little taste of the man himself. We wanted to go ahead and ask you, where did you come from, and how did you first step in to singing and to theater and to performance in general?
I grew up in a very rural community in West Virginia, always rural until I went to college, and that was the first time I'd actually lived inside any city limits.
Wow.
Yeah, we always lived out of town. So my father was a policeman. We moved a lot because he kept getting promoted, so we were very, very rural communities. I always loved pop radio as a kid, and television. And I always wanted to live where I could wear shorts year-round. That was my goal.
So you moved to New York City.
So
brilliant.
Of course I moved to... I moved here first in 1992 when I graduated college.
Wow.
And it was not not the time. So I hightailed it back east. And I stopped in Nashville. I did a couple of music videos. I got to meet some people and do some stuff. And then I ended up in New York. And then I just couldn't take another winter. I could not take another winter, and they're so depressing. And I came out here, and I've been out here for a while now.
And in your shorts.
Yeah.
And in his shorts.
Always
and
in shorts.
If I can be. I never wear socks if I can get away with it.
That's right.
That's my homage. I have to wear pants to work, unfortunately.
I would suggest
Michael and I sometimes don't, so it all works out well.
You're not wearing pants right now. It's great.
Well, true. We used to have Pantsless Thursday.
What a wonderful tradition. See?
Yes.
Good during the summer.
Let's bring those good old days back.
Well, so this is, I mean, obviously, what an amazing story. I love you coming from such a rural place and then coming into the city. And not only that, but bringing your love of music to coast to coast and mm-hmm. your love of this amazing time in music history with Bing Crosby. We have another piece here that we're going to play in just a moment. But before we do that, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about what the feeling you hope people leave with from this show is?
The whole point of the show is that Bing really did have a lasting impact on music. He revolutionized. Now I've got what you guys have. He revolutionized music, the way singing was done. He changed the entire style. People copied him. Frank Sinatra copied him when Frank started out. Frank was, 12 or 15 years younger than him? I think.
Probably.
They became good friends. He brought Louis Armstrong into mainstream movies because Bing did so much. I mean, I could go on for ever and ever. But the one thing I want to feel good, you know, have a little fun. This is a night about fun and, you know, sentiment, you know, I don't know, golden rule. Yeah. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat them nice. That's kind of my life motto there.
That's right. If you want to have some fun, Sunday, September 30th, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. Get down there. 5:30 p.m. is when doors open. Get some great food and a great show and just relax and have a good time.
Have a good time. Have
nice
some
way
fun.
To do it.
Another little factoid, number 41 number one records.
Wow, 41 number ones.
43, including the second and third chart toppings of the song that we're about
amazing.
To hear.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and that's more than the Beatles and Elvis
Presley combined.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Scott, where can people find out a little more about you on social media?
They can go to myname.com, dscotteads.com. They can catch me on Instagram at dscotteads. They can catch me on Facebook.
Is there a period after the D? Or
nope,
they,
no okay. period. You can't do it.
D Scott Eads,
no periods.
Eads is E-A-D-S.
And
of course, we'll post a picture of you as well so people can see that face, that smile, and the essence of Bing that flows through everything you do. Mike, would you like to introduce this song a little bit?
I think so. It came from my motion picture that is near and dear to my heart and probably the rest of the country and the world. And it is from the very famous Irving Berlin score called White Christmas. It's the title song of the motion picture with Danny Kaye, Bing Crosby, Vera Ellen, and Rosemary Clooney. Mm.
And children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Just like the one.
doubt about it. What a great piece, obviously.
The voice of 13 Oscar-nominated songs, that being one of them.
Wow.
And four of which won the Academy Award for Best Song. The others were Sweet Leilani from the motion picture Waikiki Wedding in 1937, Swinging on a Star from Going My Way in 1944,
wow.
and in the Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening from the motion picture Here Comes the Groom in 1951.
With the former Mrs. Ronald Reagan, right?
Wow. That's right. Amazing.
That's right.
Amazing. Well, obviously a great performer. We want to give a huge thank you to our guest today, D. Scott
Eads.
D.
Scott Eads.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I love that audience.
Best wishes on this show, but come back and see us again soon because I wanted to see another incarnation of this. I think that's amazing.
Okay.
Cool. Very cool.
Maybe there'll be a spot for you, Andrew.
Hey.
Hey, cool. You could do some fighting.
We could. I'm sure at some point poor Bing got in a fight with somebody. We can probably restage that as part of his career.
Awesome.
I just want to wear those fedoras, man. All those fedoras that he and Frank... I inherited my grandfather's fedora collection, so I've got a whole bunch of the 1940s.
You know, he would negotiate in movie contracts how many times he could wear a hat so he wouldn't have to wear the hairpiece.
Oh, that's funny.
It's
true. I didn't know. That's a great
bump
tidbit.
Him up.
Well,
yeah.
Wait, wow.
Are you saying that he had a hairpiece?
Oh, he hated his hairpiece. Bing Crosby, yeah.
Amazing.
So, I did not know that, and probably the rest of the universe didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he was famous for it.
Now put, really?
Yeah. He would negotiate in his contracts how many times he could do street scenes or wherever he could wear a cap or a hat.
That's one thing, but I'm saying you're revealing something that people wouldn't think of. Bing Crosby.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that, but what a great piece of information because that is such a part of him. And yet I always picture both him and Frank in those fedoras half cocked to the side, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's such an iconic image. Amazing. What a great, what a cool little tidbit.
They loved hats.
Well, D. Scott Eads, we want to thank you for joining us here,
and we
certainly can't wait to see this show. I know there's great things ahead for the show and for you as well.
Super duper.
Thanks so much for being here and for being
thank
such
you.
A good friend of the show. Hope to see you out there soon.
Yeah.
Where will we see you next week?
On the radio.
Oh.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.